Hello there, and welcome once again to Walking the Talk, a presentation of AEBC, the Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians. I'm the host, Devin Wilkins, but there are lots of things that you can do as well if you'd like to. If you have an idea for an interview, let me know. If you feel that you can record an interview and send it in, by all means do that. If you have a piece of music that you have composed and recorded, by all means send that in, and certainly any ideas that you have, about how this is being delivered or whatever is on your mind. Just let us know, and as I have said before, there's no I in the word team, so we want to hear from you, and you can get in touch with me just by sending an email to Wilkins, W-I-L-K-I-N-S, Wilkins at blindcanadians.ca. We want to encourage as much member engagement as is humanly possible. So this time, we're talking with Doug Earle from Fighting Blindness Canada, and he started out by talking about how you can protect your vision during this COVID-19 crisis. But he got talking about other things as well. So let's hear what Doug Earle has to say. Well, first of all, Doug, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you.
So this time we want to talk about COVID-19 and how to protect your eye health. A lot of appointments these days are being canceled. So, Doug, what should someone do if they have an appointment with their optometrist or ophthalmologist and it gets canceled?
Yeah, that's a very important question, and we have been receiving numerous phone calls to the Fighting Blindness Canada's health information line with that same concern. We're so used to now with this amazing research delivered treatments, the anti-VEGF treatments that have been stabilizing people's sight for age-related macular degeneration or diabetes-related vision complications, diabetic retinopathy or diabetic macular edema, those eye diseases that can lead to blindness. So it is quite troubling for many people who are concerned that now their appointment has been canceled. And I think that the best thing that they could do is to call their ophthalmologist and just double check, because there are some clinics that are opened right now that are dealing with urgent cases. So if you've been newly diagnosed as having bleeding in your eyes, there is options for people to go and get the treatment necessary that they're able to. If your ophthalmologist has canceled the appointment, I suspect that may be because you've recently had an injection with this anti-VEGF medication. And the research says that you can treat and extend, I think is a name of a study, for example, where the effect of the anti-VEGF medication lasts beyond the 4-week or 8-week use that is prescribed, depending on which medication you're receiving. Mm-hmm. So there is enough left, and it is working, and it can be for people that are on an ongoing basis that have been receiving a number of injections. That there may be an 8 to 12 and some evidence around 16 weeks where the medication still has effect and is absorbing that VEGF, the VEGF protein that is causing the bleeding in your blood vessels in your eye.
Right. And so the ophthalmologist, of course, or optometrist would know how long you can get away without an injection.
Yes, that, and I think each individual, how they react is different. So if you're one of the lucky ones where you've now gone through the protocol of the sort of the first 3 months and you've had a monthly injection and you're now you're able to last the 8 or 12 or 16 weeks, and depending on the medication, then that's amazing. That you still get the benefit of this sight-saving treatment, the anti-VEGF medication, but your body reacts and those blood vessels don't form, and they're not quite properly formed blood vessels, and then they start bleeding, and then the blood, that sort of biologic cascade causes the blindness.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that's not the case. They don't respond as well, and they do require it every 4 weeks. And so you do need to have a conversation with your ophthalmologist, who is the one who delivers this injection, and to be able to know whether or not your biology means that you should really talk about and ask for alternatives to get the treatment. I hear stories where some of the community-based clinics are running. They've taken out every six every sixth chair is left in the waiting room. In some cases, they ask you to. I've heard a story where they ask you to park in the parking lot, and they call your cell phone to come in when it's your turn for the treatment.
Uh-huh.
So some of our eye specialists, the ophthalmologists, are being very proactive, of course, because the majority of the people that have age-related macular degeneration or the diabetes-related vision complications, they're in the high-risk group. They're over 65, and COVID could be quite devastating, obviously. It is causing such an impact in that particular age group.
It sure is. What other differences could people expect if they get to go to their appointment?
Well, with their ophthalmologist, of course, they need to look into your eye, and that's it is the transmission is your droplets from your breathing or from sneezing and that sort of things. So it is quite the doctor and the medical staff have to take protection. So you will be seeing them wearing masks and gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a little bit unusual. I heard one story from one of our members or people with lived experience the waiting lines are not that long going into one of these clinics because they've really decreased the volume of patients coming in. Where some clinics can see 2 to 250 people in a day, they're down to 30 or
Ooh.
50 people. So that is a bit different
mm-hmm.
than normal.
Definitely. So supposing you were told that you don't need to come right away, you can wait 16 weeks, and then all of a sudden something happens to your vision or whatever, and you think it might be an emergency. What's the best course of action there?
Well, I would strongly encourage you to reach out to your eye professional, medical professional, to see what they are able to do to get you in to do an exam to understand what's going on. The last thing that anyone wants is for some serious conditions developing, complications developing, that you lose your sight. It is good to call in advance, find out what the doctor says, or call the Ontario Health line and get their advice whether or not in your community going to the emergency ward is, for example, if you have a detached retina, you're seeing lights and stars and floater, a lot of floaters, in those warning signs of a detached retina, then to call ahead so that they know that you're coming in. If your ophthalmologist says going to a eye special or into the emergency room, they are offering those services. It is available and for you to take advantage of it.
And if necessary, would they do surgery?
They do, but it's only on emergency situations because they are trying to protect those personal protective equipment.
Yes.
For all the COVID related issues, but if you have a detached retina, you need it fixed, or else you'll lose your sight.
For sure. Yeah.
The other thing, of course, is glaucoma, and making sure that you know if you are taking daily drops that you do follow the proper protocol for cleaning your hands.
Yes.
And all of that. That's important, and you can find out that information at the Ontario Ministry of Health website, or that you can also see it at the Health Canada's website as well.
Right. Okay. Are there any other things that people can do to protect their eye health during this pandemic?
Well, for example, if you are wearing contacts by using glasses for the next little while, that way you don't have to touch your face and eyes as often as you do if you're wearing contacts. Try to remember, if you do have medications, that you must just be a little more advanced in monitoring sort of what your supply is. I had a situation, my dog has epilepsy, so it took 3 weeks for me to get his medication.
Oh, no.
So fortunately, they are trying to be more proactive for people, thankfully.
Yes.
But also, depending on the community, there may be a longer delay in getting your prescriptions. So they are limiting how the supply from a month or 2 months, depending on what the medication is. So those are other things you should think about around if you are taking other medications, that you do build in time in this period. The other stories that we're getting from people calling in and reaching out to us is not all of the medications, of course, are available or approved in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a handful of cases where people have called us and they go to the United States to get medications and cross the border. Well, that option's not there anymore.
No.
Working with the Canadian Ophthalmological Society, so the medical group of ophthalmologists, their advice that they've given us for these individuals is that they do reach out to their ophthalmologist, that they do talk to them about what alternatives are available in Canada so that they don't have to go to the United States to get the treatment or get the medication. And so they can do something that is approved in Canada, that is supplied in Canada. And then if it is in the medical advice or opinion of the ophthalmologist, there is a Health Canada system for compassionate access to treatment. And that of course, does take time. So some of the alternatives where the medications available in Canada are not working, and there are alternatives in the United States that mm-hmm. people have access. It is challenging right now to get access to those continuing treatments.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully they're continuing to look at those medications that haven't yet been approved by Health Canada, and hopefully they're not letting the pandemic slow their work down too much.
Yeah. Well, we've spoken with the pharmaceutical companies that are supplying the main medications for glaucoma. degeneration and the diabetes-related complications and cataracts, they've all assured us that the supply chain is set, it's strong, that the medications are available for the ones that are approved by Health Canada. So it is just a matter of navigating the other challenges with couriers and et cetera to get the pharmacist or the eye specialist the supply they need in order to fulfill your prescription.
Well, that's good.
One thing I'd like to mention is that, of course, we're actively working with our vision partners, the Canadian Council of the Blind, and our other vision partners on the medical side, the optometrists and ophthalmologists, to do a quality of life surveys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to build the case for why new treatments should be available in Canada. And so we've launched off of the fightingblindness.ca website a number of surveys, actually. We have one for inherited retinal diseases, so about 14 diseases in under that category that are inherited,
mm-hmm.
and are causing blindness. And also we have for age-related macular degeneration a survey. And the third one that we have up is the diabetes-related complications, diabetic retinopathy and diabetic macular edema. And they do take time because they're actually been approved by an ethical board. We're looking to publish the data, so because there is such a lack of data about what is the impact of blindness on families, on people living with these conditions. The stigma, the depression, the falls, what are you doing with assistive devices in order to help you navigate your world?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a lot of information about that. So we're looking to publish the data, and we've had just a tremendous response from the community, but we could always hear your story. And so we are encouraging people to go to fightingblindness.ca, and under our news section is the survey website, the page that links to these different quality of life surveys. And we're going to be using that information to talk to policymakers, government decision makers that decide whether or not treatments are available to Canadians and if they're publicly funded. So it's an incredible opportunity for the community to speak out, be heard, tell us your story, and we will publish it in an academic journal to give the greatest weight to these, to what is the impact for Canadians who are living with blinding eye diseases.
Is there a deadline for information from these surveys?
Well, there is one deadline. Of course, right in the middle of the COVID pandemic, the Government of Canada and its the organization is called CADTH, their Canadian Agency for Treatment and Technology, Drugs and Technology, they gave us a May 15th deadline to provide, and I put in quotes, patient input into whether or not the first sight-restoring treatment for an inherited retinal disease should be available to Canadians, approved for use, and that if whether or not a recommendation should go to each of the provincial health ministries, that it should be publicly funded. So the last week of March, they gave us notice, and we launched that day the survey, as it turned out, and we have until May 15th to provide the feedback. So if you do have an inherited retinal disease, in particular, I urge you to visit fightingblindness.ca, go to the news section, see the surveys, and link and do the click on to the survey for inherited retinal diseases, because we're keeping it open for another 2 weeks or so, and then we're going to take all the data, do the analysis, and make sure that we give our patient input that, yes, this treatment should be available to journal submissions, our publications.
Yes.
The articles we're writing, but for all of them. But in particular, we have a deadline with the Government of Canada to provide our input so that we get a positive recommendation that it should be publicly funded.
All right. So people need to get on there and do those surveys.
Exactly. And especially when we have such a momentous moment, this moment in time where the first sight-restoring treatment for an inherited retinal disease is available and Canadians can benefit from it. It's just an amazing moment in time. Like 46 years ago when the families came together to form Fighting Blindness Canada, this is the moment that they wanted. They wanted to invest in research, that research would understand the biology, understand the genes, and now we have this innovative treatment. It'll set the precedent. It's so important that we have the precedent that when all other genes, this is a gene therapy targeting one gene that is causing blindness, but it'll set the precedent for all the other innovative therapies that are coming to the market. We're tracking over 59 trials right now around the world. In 2019, we were able to help bring 5 of those trials to Canada.
Wow.
That are enabling, are testing innovative therapies around gene therapy. The first stem cells therapies now for inherited retinal diseases have launched. The first one in the United States was announced, enrolled their first patient at the beginning of 2020. But we're in a new day.
Yes.
And it's not, if you're a parent and you've taken your child to a pediatric ophthalmologist and they tell you that you have an inherited retinal disease, the conversation has changed. It used to be, there's no treatments, we don't understand what's happening, why your child's going blind, we just know that they're losing their sight. And now the conversation is, you know, the first treatment is being considered, it's available in the United States, Europe, other parts of the world. We're hoping to have it in Canada in 2020, this symbolic year, and that Health Canada will say yes, and that CADTH will say yes, it should be publicly funded, and then we'll take the conversation to each of the provincial governments to get it a part of our drug treatment programs.
Wow, that's great.
So that's what this survey is all about, right in the middle of COVID.
Wouldn't you know, eh?
We're busy. You know, we're getting people calling our health information line. We've launched these quality of life surveys, but we've been quite dramatically impacted by not having, you know, obviously not wanting people to get ill. So we've canceled our in-person fundraising events, and so we're moving virtually now. But you know, there's a challenge, just like you know, when there's a challenge in life, people rally, and we've had just an amazing response to the surveys. And we've asked, for example, our Cycle for Sight event, we were planning to have just north of Toronto on June 20th. Mm-hmm. Last year we raised almost $400,000 from our Toronto event. Of course, we're not going to hold it this year in person, so we're moving virtually. And we asked the donors, the people who gave last year, the 2,400 donors that gave to the event, and we were just so thrilled that 79% of them said they're going to give to it, even though it's going to be a virtual event this year. So that's just amazing, and we are raising the money to keep funding this amazing research that is turning into real treatments, and to be able to run these quality of life surveys so that we can tell public policy and decision makers and government and the community with insurance programs and that here are the issues facing our community. You know, we need services, we need new treatments available, and we can answer the call when people call our health information line at 1-888-626-2995.
1-888-626-2995.
That's the number.
All right.
And Sherry, our health information officer, would be very pleased to answer any questions. And that's our mission.
Terrific. Is there anything else that you wanted to pass along now that I haven't asked you about?
I wish everyone to keep safe. I hear so many stories. For some people, touch is a very important part of navigating their world. And, of course, with COVID, it just adds that whole new dementia to being able to live with blindness and knowing that touch is something now that is troubling, could be spreading the virus. So please make sure you wash your hands with soap and water at least 20 seconds before you clean your hands with the water. And please keep safe. We've got to definitely flatten the curve. We've got to get through this acute stage. And then we are talking with the Ontario Health Ministry about what's going to happen next when we're into phase two of COVID and making sure people can get access to these sight-restoring, sight-saving treatments, the anti-VEGF treatments and glaucoma treatments. And also, you know, go to your optometrist to get your annual eye health to make sure that you're not at that earliest stages of these diseases because you can avoid blindness. So that's our job right now, and we hope everyone are keeping safe, following the physical distancing recommendations from our medical and health, public health people. It's such a different world, the new normal, as they're saying, and we really hope everyone keeps safe.
Okay, that's great, Doug. Thanks so much for that, and we'll definitely pass this along.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Take care. So that was Doug Earle from Fighting Blindness Canada. Before we finish here, I wanted to remind you about the Issue 7 of the Equalizer, which will be hitting the streets, so to speak, by the end of this month of May. And we'll be back with another edition of Walking the Talk in early June. We'll finish now with my rendition on the synthesizer of Listen to the Mockingbird. Thanks so much for listening. Take good care and talk soon. Bye for now.